There was a time I used to look into my father's eyes. In a happy home, I was a king, I had a golden throne. Those days are gone, now the memories on the wall.
How's it going, listeners? Chris GST back again with another weekly newscast. We have a lot to cover. As always, I'm joined by Dez Delgadillo. Dez, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, Chris.
Awesome. As always, we like to cover a lot of the current events going on in wrestling, and what bigger event could we talk about than Under the Hood presented by Chikara? So big, in fact, that we had to bring on a special guest, Kevin Ford. Not just of our site, but of 411 Mania and the Chikara Special. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
No problem. I mean, who else would we go to for Chikara banter? And it was quite a good show. Obviously, Chikara Under the Hood, an IPPV presented by Smartmark Video. Some interesting reports in terms of how there were some problems with, I guess, the login system to Smartmark Video, but in very good fashion, they were right there on Twitter to respond to everyone's needs. I thought that was personally very good. Obviously, there are some other promotions out there who didn't respond as well. So kudos to Smartmark Video for being so, I guess, open and available. So why don't we dive right into this? We have the results here. Kevin, we're going to go match by match, as we said. So let's start off with, it was 3.0, Shane Matthews and Scott Parker defeating Fist of Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor, earning 3 points and a shot at the Chikara Tag Team titles, the Campeones de Parejas, in their next season. So Kevin, what can you tell us about this and what were your overall thoughts?
I liked this for a couple reasons. First, this actually went back and echoed the first iPay-per-view, which opened with the Young Bucks in the Colony, who were in the similar situation where two teams had 2 points. They were fighting over a third point, a title shot. I thought 3.0 was going to win this because looking back at some of the results, Shane Matthews had, I think, either submitted or pinned Matt Jackson in Cleveland, and then they had some interactions in the Cibernetico. So it seemed like a foregone conclusion, although I would not have minded a Fist Young Bucks rematch at all. Crowd was really hot for this. I mean, Fist are a popular team for a team of Rudos, and everybody loves to cheer for and play along with 3.0 shenanigans. Really good way to start off the show. Crowd was really hot. Action was good. A lot of believable pinfalls here, and it really did seem like either team could take it, but I think the crowd was really happy that 3.0 got it just because we get a fresh match in 3.0 in the Bucks, presumably kick off the season. So I'm really looking forward to that match, and I thought it was a really good opener.
Yes, I should have mentioned, so you were there live. You got to meet up with some very cool people that obviously you talk to a lot on Twitter. So that must have been really fun. Can you give us an overall idea of how the event went in terms of the fan reaction? I was unfortunately not able to watch it live. How was the crowd? How did they respond?
Well, the crowd was pretty good for the most part. I'd say the crowd sort of worked in the same way the match did. Like, if a match went on a little too long, they would definitely get a little quiet. I feel like so many of the matches had the finish where there's the you know, a lot of times the fans, if they're really into the match, they'll count, like, with the one and two and oh and all that stuff. And most of the matches didn't have it because – and that says, I think, speaks more to the match than the crowd itself, because they were so game for cheering what they really liked and really got burned out by some of the other stuff that they did during the matches. But, I go to a lot of these shows on the East Coast. I go to most of the shows in Philly, and I've been to Easton, and you see the same people there, and they're really in Chikara, and they're all really cool. Got to sit with Mike Falcone, who's a good friend of the website, Jason Sterlacki as well, my buddy Casey, who's become a fan of Viva Chikara on our website. So I had a good experience with the people that I were with, and then I feel like a lot of the other fans, there was a little bit of hostility in some of the matches we'll get to later, but I'd say it was a crowd that was a little less hot than maybe Chikarasaurus Rex was still pretty game to get involved with what was going on in the ring. And I'd say they reacted appropriately to just about everything.
Sounds great. Yeah, the fan reaction, to me, is always the most important part. It's a measuring stick, obviously, for any event. So next up, we had the hated Icarus, and he defeated Dasher Hatfield. Sugar Dunkerton joined Icarus, and he inadvertently helped Icarus win. So, Kev, why don't you explain that relationship going on? And they are teammates, correct? But, of course, Sugar Dunkerton doesn't exactly agree with the, shall we say, the philosophy of Fist.
Yeah, I guess Sugar Dungerton, he had left Chikara for a few months to kind of get his head on straight, figure out some personal things, and he came back to a different Chikara with Wink Vavasor switching up teams, and Dasher Hatfield, his former partner, the Throwbacks, had brought in his relative Mr. Touchdown to become his new partner, and Sugar Dungerton wanted back in with them, but Touchdown didn't really like what Dungerton was about, and he sort of said, hey, I'm a team player, I want to be on a team, so Wink Vavasor put him as a member of Fist, which is not fitting at all with his philosophy, and they don't really want him there. But of course, since he is Fist stablemate, he came out in a Fist shirt and was by Icarus's side. And there's been a few times this year where Sugar Dungerton has accidentally helped Fist use foreign objects in their match. Like he tries to stop them from using them, but they end up getting used anyway. And that happened here. Icarus pulled out some powder he wanted to throw into Dasher's eyes, and Dungerton tried to stop him, but then the powder ended up in referee Dan Yost's eyes. And as he was cleaning himself and getting his eyes cleared in the corner, Icarus pulled out his fanny pack that he was going to use to hit Dasher. Dungerton comes in, and he and him are having a tug of war with the fanny pack. And Dungerton, he's able to get it away from him, but the force that he used, it turned around and almost hit Hatfield, but he was able to stop himself. And Dasher, it looked like to him that Dungerton was going to clock him with the fanny pack and got caught. As Dungerton was trying to explain this to him, Icarus shoved Dungerton into Hatfield, and the fanny pack hit Hatfield in the face. Dan Yost was now cleaned up by then, and Icarus was able to pin Hatfield and get the win there. And Icarus dragged Dungerton away before he could stick around to try to explain Hatfield what happened, which Dungerton seems to want to do. He really wants to make it. He doesn't want Hatfield to be his enemy, because all this stuff has been accidental, and so he's really frustrated that this has been happening, but, you know, it is what it is.
It sounds like a sticky situation.
It is. Dungerton really wants to be back with his old buddy, and he can't. He's forced into this. It's either be in Fist or don't have a job, I guess.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's shenanigans abound, but is there some type of ruling from Vink that Sugar Dungerton has to do with this? Because, you know, I've seen the promos that they put out online on YouTube. Does he have to listen to them? Why can't he just kind of do his own thing and just be a part of the group? Or does he have to, like, legitimately do everything they say? Otherwise, they can just say, you're fired.
You know, that's an interesting question. It's never really been brought up. Because when Dungerton first got sent over to Fist, I think his attitude was more like, you know what, this isn't what I wanted, but I'm willing to be a team player and I'm willing to make this work. And all he got from the rest of the Fish members was pushback. He got this, I don't know if you've seen it, but Dungerton usually wears his basketball jersey and shorts and stuff, and he got one fashioned to look like a Fist outfit. Like, he got it the same color, the Fist design's right on it, the Fist emblem's on the middle of it, and it's purple like the Fist colors, and now Fist just doesn't wear purple anymore intentionally because they don't want to match Dungerton. So he does what he can, but he's getting pushed back, and it seems like he's had enough, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really just feels like Gargano and Taylor want nothing to do with him, but Icarus gets some type of pleasure of knowing that Dungerton has to do what they say. So this will go on, obviously. Another overriding storyline in Chikara was in the next match as Jigsaw, the Shard, and Deviant, and Soldier Ant, who is a prisoner of war, defeated Mike Quackenbush, Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Assailant. So, Kev, can you catch us up on what is all this? I know that there were some interesting results from the show before this, so why don't you catch everyone up on this and let them know, well, why is Jigsaw facing Mike Quackenbush? What the hell happened?
All right, so this is sort of a sticky situation. The Gekido is this group of outsiders who came in to run roughshod over Chikara. Presumably, they're people from the past, some of them being students who came in, couldn't cut it or didn't want to deal with the politics that come into getting in professional wrestling and left. And now that Chikara is up to some level of success, they have come in donning similar gimmicks to those in Chikara in a sort of a mocking fashion to try to get what they believe is rightfully theirs. And we've seen in the past these other big heel groups come in and try to run roughshod over Chikara, like Sweet and Sour International, the Kings of Wrestling, the BDK, the Unstable, and each and every time Chikara is able to run them out. And Quackenbush, it doesn't want this to stand. Now, he's always felt like he's been the ambassador of Chikara, but now that they have the grand championship and Eddie Kingston has that, Quackenbush doesn't feel that way anymore. So now he's been going ruthlessly after each member of the Gekido. He broke 17's wrist and then eventually took him out by giving him all four of his Quacken drivers consecutively in a tag match. He twisted up Combatant's neck during King of Trios, and now he's on the shelf. And he was looking to go after the Shard and Deviant recently, too. But Jigsaw kind of got fed up with him because in all of this, he's been costing them tag matches, which could have gotten them points to go after the tag titles again. His blind rage, so to speak, no pun intended, kind of cost them King of Trios in a way. Some miscommunication had Quackenbush palm strike Jigsaw, and then Quackenbush ended up getting pinned shortly after that. So Jigsaw's been kind of fed up with Mike Quackenbush, and sort of his philosophy now is, what if these guys just need some mentoring? What if, you know, all they really seem to want to do is be a part of the Jakara roster, and maybe we should see what we can do to make it a more peaceful situation. Like, what do we need to do to get them there? And that's sort of Jigsaw's philosophy with Quackenbush. He doesn't see why he should let them come in and run roughshod just because Wink is able to, or he's just meeting all their demands and all this. And so Jigsaw says, you know what, Quackenbush, you know, you're in this for yourself. I want to make this a better place. And at the Cibernetico, Jigsaw super kicked him, and I don't want to say he aligned himself with the Gekido, but it seems like that's the direction they're going into. And in the midst of all this, Wink decided to switch up the colony teams, the ant teams, because Fire Ant was injured. And so Soldier Ant got paired up with Deviant and Combatant, who Combatant's not there anymore. And then when Fire Ant returned, there was a outcry from the fans for the colony to be back together. So he put Assailant, the other ant from the Gekido, in with Green Ant and Fire Ant. And unlike Soldier Ant, who does not want anything to do with the swarm, as they call themselves, and he gets treated like dirt by them, Assailant was all about being a member of the colony. And so he really wants to get along with Fire Ant and Green Ant. He likes doing the colony team moves with them. And at first it didn't seem like they were really into it, but now it seems like they've kind of grown accustomed to it. And that played into this match too. Fire Ant and the Shard had a match in New York where the Shard went after Fire Ant's ankle pretty ruthlessly. And he was trying to prove a point, because Quackenbush had injured Combatant and 17 take him out of action. And so the Shard was going to show Quackenbush what that was like, and he was going to injure Fire Ant and try to take him out. And so they went after that ankle again in this match, the Shard and Jigsaw did. And every time Jigsaw would be hurting Fire Ant and going after his leg, he'd look right at Mike Quackenbush and say, "You're forcing me to do this." And there was a weird moment where everybody was fighting, and Deviant, the Shard, and Jigsaw were on the floor, and Assailant got sent to the floor too, and then it was Soldier Ant, Green Ant, Fire Ant, the original colony, and in the ring, they kind of looked at each other, shrugged, and then they all dove onto everybody onto the floor. But I'd say the biggest moment of this match was Jigsaw and Quackenbush finally got their hands at each other, they were in the ring, and Jigsaw was getting ready to super kick Mike Quackenbush, and Assailant dove in the way and took the bullet for Quackenbush, which, you know, Quackenbush really did not want to team with Assailant. He was part of this Gekido group that came in and was trying to take over Chikara, and it seemed like the look on his face was sort of like, wow, maybe he's not full of crap. Maybe he does want to work with the colony, and he's not like them. But it ended up costing the matches. Deviant was able to then pick up the pieces and pin Assailant. And so Deviant, Jigsaw, the Shard, and Soldier Ant got the win. And Wink Vavasor was actually, he was watching from the commentation booth, and he did not look happy when Soldier Ant went against the new ant pairings, and he was diving onto his new partners with Deviant and the Shard and those guys with the colony, and the fans were chanting "I blame Wink" and "impeach Wink" and things like that during the match, and he just looked angrier and angrier as the match went on. So this is certainly not over. We'll see where the alliances lead and what comes of everything. Nothing was really resolved here, but I think and Assailant got a big chant after the match too. So it seems like maybe the Chikara side and the fans have accepted Assailant as one of their own, and he is going to be a member of the colony from now on. And you know, he's definitely improved. I was not sold on him in the beginning, but I think he's really improved as the years progress. So yeah, I mean, this is the match I was most interested in going into it, and did not disappoint in both the wrestling and the storyline factor.
No, for sure, and I know that it's quite a mouthful, quite a lot in there, because it's all so detailed. I don't know if you've had a chance to review the Cybernetica Rises out, but I know that a couple gifs that I saw from that event when Jigsaw turned on Mike, it almost looked like Mike Quackenbush was leaning in, like kind of teasing Jigsaw, saying, "Hey, this is your chance. You either super kick me in the face, or you realize what it is I'm doing for the greater good, quote unquote, of Chikara." And then Jigsaw super kicked him, and that was it. So yeah, it's just a lot of stuff going into that. It'll be fun to see where they go next season. So the next matchup, Mr. Touchdown defeated ACH with help from Veronica in a Young Lions Cup bout. That was not the big part of this match. I'm sure the match was awesome. Kev, I want to know your thoughts on that, because ACH, I mean, he's great. But post-match, they announced the winners of the homecoming contest. Veronica was queen, and the handsome Mysterious Stranger was king. And in a shocking turn of events, I know, Kevin, you would have never guessed this in a million years, he was revealed to be Archibald Peck, and he slapped Veronica, and he was escorted out by security. So how was the match, and the following, what happened after?
This was the best match of the show, I would say. The original
praise.
The original Touchdown ACH encounter got a lot of praise from the internet, too. I liked it a lot. I don't think I liked it as much as some people did, but I still really, really liked it, and I was really looking forward to the rematch. The fun thing about this to me was, aside from Mike Falcone, my friends who were with me had never seen ACH. They had heard a lot about ACH, and they were really excited to see him, and then they were all blown away what they saw from him, because he's awesome, and these two had a lot of great stuff. This is definitely the match the crowd was the most hot for, lived and died with the near falls in the match, really wanted to see ACH win, and Veronica's baton came into play, and Touchdown was able to get the win. And even with that sort of finish, it did not ruin the match for me. I'd say it was just as good as their original encounter. Obviously, when I get the DVD, I'll rewatch it and give it a better look, because it's definitely different, obviously, when you're there live and when you watch it on video. But I really, really dug it. I thought it was an awesome match. And then right after they did the crowning of the Homecoming King and Queen, Gavin came into the ring after ACH had left, and Touchdown and Veronica were there celebrating. Veronica was already there in her homecoming gown, which is pretty gaudy, if you ask me.
Some of the photos coming out from that, I kind of laughed. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but it did make me laugh.
Well, but obviously for good reason, as what we would see in a couple minutes. Gavin announced Veronica as being homecoming queen, and then Touchdown grabbed the mic and said, "You know, we already know that I'm the homecoming king. You don't need to announce it. It's fine." And Gavin said, "You know what? I'd like to announce you as the homecoming king, but you did not get the most votes." And then the theme from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly hits, and the mysterious and handsome stranger moseys down to the ring, and Touchdown's pissed because he lost the homecoming battle, and Stranger he got the upper hand. He attacked him. He was obviously pissed at Touchdown murdering his bird Sapphire, and he was able to get him out of there. And as Touchdown was recovering on the floor, some music hit, and Stranger and Veronica had their awkward homecoming dance in the middle of the ring. And midway through that, Veronica tried to pull up, kind of like the Spider-Man, his mask to give him a kiss or to see who he was. Mysterious and Handsome Stranger stopped her, had her turn around and cover her eyes, as he was thinking that when she turned around, his mask would be off and she'd see who he was. But while she was turned around with her eyes closed, he went under the ring and grabbed a bucket of slop. It was filled with, like, it looked kind of just like a big soup with a bunch of vegetables and stuff in it. She turned around and uncovered her eyes and got all that dumped on her. And then the mysterious and handsome stranger took off his mask and revealed himself to be Archibald Peck, who at the last iPay-per-view had lost a Loser Leaves Town match. And we all saw the videos of him walking throughout the country to really sad Hulk music. But he was there, and he got a huge pop when he took off his mask and had the big giant smile that he does. And the fans were awesome. They chanted, "We had no clue," when he took and these two security guys who seem to be Wink security guys they're at every show at this point. Like, they usually just lurk in the background, but at King of Trios, they escorted the Swamp Monster. And pretty much a couple of seconds after he had revealed himself to be Archibald Peck, the security guys jumped him, took him out of the building, never to be seen again, presumably. And then they had to change the ring apron because it was covered in slop and grossness from what had happened. And Touchdown and Veronica they were angry, and they left, and then we had our intermission where they could change the canvas and do all that. So, awesome first half. Really fun first half.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and it'll be great to see where they go from here, because, I mean, Archibald Peck, loser leave town, you got to leave, but he's back, essentially. I mean, who knows? Go ahead.
I thought the Jakar explanation would be, He lost the Loser Leaves Town match. He left town, and now he's back.
Ah, yes, clearly. A very good play on words.
That sounds like a very good Chikara explanation to me.
It does.
Good enough for me.
Yes, so next up, we have the Spectral Envoy of Ultramantis Black, Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, Crossbones, and Blind Rage, two names I did not think I'd be reading, defeated the team of Delirious, Ophidian, and of course the Batiri. I really am looking forward to viewing this match in particular. I read some kind of mixed reviews online, not too sure why, but it is what it is. Kevin, what were, I guess, the reactions to seeing Crossbones and Blind Rage, and then this whole feud? I mean, Delirious has been feuding with Ultramantis Black God for years. So, how was it?
Well, you actually skipped a match, but I'll get to that after this. Yeah, I mean, as a huge Chikara fan, I was really happy to see Blind Rage again. It's been 6 years since he's wrestled, so it was cool seeing him, and I had never seen him wrestle in person. And Crossbones is pretty much beloved by everybody, so he's always going to get a good reaction no matter what. And yeah, I mean, this just had like a big match feel with both teams of five were standing across the ring from each other. And Ophidian has kind of completed his transformation. He has this new green sort of Cobra Commander like outfit. It's pretty awesome, and now he matches the Batiri and Delirious and all those guys, so yeah, it's pretty sweet. And Delirious, you know, it's been a while since I've seen him wrestle, since he's obviously not wrestling for Ring of Honor anymore and only has wrestled like two matches, including this one, Chikara, this year. And he's been pretty skinny these days. I feel like I was like on some Art of Wrestling, maybe like Adam Cole's episode, where they talked about him being obsessed with yoga and meditation, and it sure as hell looks like it. It's doing him, it's certainly causing him to lose some weight, but that's all that. The match itself was long, and it was pretty sloppy overall, but it was still really good for what it was. I mean, like, not an amazing match or anything, but I think in terms of just it was absolutely chaotic, which in a way it was sort of designed to be, but it was in a way where I was having trouble keeping up with it. And I got a little burnt out by all the near falls they had in the end, and it sort of fell apart. And Crossbones specifically got blown up within 2 minutes, and it was pretty obvious. Like, there would be times where he'd be standing in the ring where, like, a Batiri person would be pinning one of his teammates, and he wouldn't even break up the pinfall. He'd just kind of stand in the corner and watch, and not even on the apron. Like, I remember watching in Dragon Gate, like, matches with Abdullah the Butcher where he wouldn't go outside of the ring in his tag matches because he just, I guess, was too out of shape to get in and out of the ropes, and that's kind of how Crossbones was here. So as good as it was to see him, he definitely looked a little clumsy and was, you know, it is what it is. But overall, it was pretty cool. You know, Ultramantis and Delirious finally getting their hands on each other, and Mantis pinning him at the end was nifty. But this is one of those matches where it just went too long, and by the end, they just counted to three, and people were like, yay, instead of going absolutely nuts. And one of the bigger spots in the match that was both cool but a little weird was Amasis appeared in one side of the crowd, and they were actually passing out a bunch of Amasis masks to people in the crowd. So by the end of it, that one side of the ring had like 24 people with Amasis masks on. It was a cool visual, but I mean, it's pretty blatant that they were just passing out Amasis masks to people and having them put it on. So it kind of foreshadowed it. Like, in the crowd, as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, clearly Amasa is coming out then. But it was weird because he was in the crowd, and he just kind of looked at Ophidian. Ophidian looked freaked out, and Amasa said something like, oh, I'm coming to get you, or the nightmare lives, or something. And then he just went away. He didn't run in the match. He didn't really have any effect on the match whatsoever. It was just one of those things where maybe they saw that so many people were predicting he'd have a part in the match that they kind of had to shoehorn him in there. But his involvement in the match had literally nothing to do with the outcome, nothing to do with anything. It was just sort of it was a nice fan service moment, but really didn't lend itself into the finish. So maybe he's coming back, maybe there's something more to it, but it just in and of itself is a self-contained match seemed sort of out of place. But you know, I liked it for the aspect of this big feud having this full collision of both stables and the nostalgic factor of having Blind Rage and Crossbones there, but maybe not the awesome brawl with huge spots that you might have expected.
Is there any larger reason to Delirious's footwear or lack thereof?
I don't know. Maybe he just likes wrestling barefoot. You know how weird some people who do meditation are.
Maybe I just thought like maybe not wearing shoes made him more evil or something.
It's him paying homage to Necro Butcher. That's how I just figured it.
That makes sense.
It is what it is. So next up, we had the match of the Chikara Campeones de Parejas. The Young Bucks went up against the 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty, which their build, I mean, I saw some of their matches in King of Trios. Yeah, I finally finished it. Go figure. And, man, I know that 1-2-3 Kid at one point during King of Trios, he didn't feel like he lived up to the expectations. But after seeing some of the tweets during this match, it felt like people thought that that Kid and Marty Jannetty did well. So, Kevin, how was that live? And, you know, did it live up to your expectations?
Well, you actually forgot the Devastation Corporation had a match after intermission.
I do apologize. I did not have that in my results, nor I did look it up. I was not too sure, but I did not see that result also anywhere else.
Well, so, we'll talk about that after this match.
Okay. Yes. My apologies.
I thought Marty looked terrible. Like, he was, you know, my friend was next to me, and he was jokingly singing the theme song to The Wrestler most of the time that Marty was in the ring, and he wasn't far off. Like, started out okay, had some of his usual rocker shtick going on, but then, like, he just kind of looked like he was out of place and just didn't know where he was. And someone had told me who was on the floor that Marty had, I guess, taken a bump to the floor. I forget what it was, but it was scary. And someone had said, like, he was like, where am I? Like, what am I doing? And my friend said, he's like, I don't know if he's, like, playing or long. I think he, like, that might be serious, because he definitely looked very aloof at some points. And 1-2-3 Kid, you know, he had his moments. Like, he was definitely better of the two. But it was so weird. Like, I felt like so much of this match was really uncomfortable to watch, like, Marty and those guys take some of the stuff. Like, you know, Marty does not need to take the Young Bucks spot where more Matt powerbombs him into Nick Jackson's Enzigiri, and 1-2-3 Kid does not need to be taking DDTs on the ring apron. It was, you know, I was kind of coming to this expecting kind of like a fun sort of a high-flying exhibition between the two teams. Like, Marty and Kid can pull up some cute stuff from their past, and the Bucks can be more of their Rudo selves without doing so much of the flashy stuff to sort of play along with that, and it wasn't that at all. Like, I didn't find this to be really all that fun. It was just sort of sad watching these two old guys get their asses kicked by these two younger guys, and I felt like the Bucks had to slow down pretty tremendously for them. And it got to the point where people were like, I really just want this to end. Like, I just don't want to see Marty and these guys get a beating taken any longer. Like, I wouldn't say the match was horrible or anything, but man, was it just... It was just sad. Like, I don't know. Like, it just did not leave the best taste in the mouth for the crowd. Like, there was definitely a couple near falls in the end when it was tied two falls apiece where people were not happy when they started kicking out. They were just like, we really just want this to end and we can move on. And it seems like, to me anyways, they've really done all they could with Marty and 1-2-3 Kid, and I wouldn't bring them back if I were Chikara. I think they've gotten all they could out of those guys when it comes to the nostalgic factor, and there's really not much that they can contribute. And you know what? It was fine having them in the tag gauntlet and having, like, 1-2-3 Kid and his trios matches and having them face the Heartthrobs in a fun match in New York. But this really exposed these guys really do not have what it takes to go 23 minutes anymore. And I don't think anyone should be asking them to. They're pretty old at this point. There's a lot that I think they want to do, but their bodies can only do so much. And yeah, it was just a weird, weird match.
Yeah, sounds like it. And that's, you know, as you said, Chikara's done the most that they can with them. So, you know, appreciate them for the time and move on. So, so the result that I skipped, and I do apologize, Sidney Bacabella made his way out and that he was looking for the third point for the Devastation Corporation, which then I guess they challenged Los Ice Creams and they defeated them. It says here that they came out with a new member, but there is no name. So maybe, Kevin, you can shed some light on that. How was this match, and I guess who's the new member?
So intermission comes back abruptly. Sidney Bacabella comes up to the ring, and he tells people to get back to their seats. He talks about, you know, he's sort of a throwback to the 80s, so he mentioned Herb Abrams and closed-circuit television. And how he had learned about this point system in Chikara, and he says, by their rules, we have 2 points, and apparently you need 3 to get a title shot, although by my count, we have like 270 points or something. So he brings out the Devastation Corporation, and 3 of them emerge. The 2 that are usually there, Max Smashmaster and Blaster McMassive, And then the third one just kind of stands there, doesn't take off his mask, doesn't do anything. And then he heads immediately to the back. He does not even walk to the ring with the other two Dev Corp members. We never learned his name. I saw that my friend prompted Sydney on Twitter asking what his name was, and Sydney said, "In due time, rookie." So we don't know his name yet. I saw Justin on Twitter suggested that he would like the guy to be Archie, which I think would be awesome, but I also do not think is likely. And then he talked about how two youngsters from Mexico wanted to challenge and get their shot, so out came Los Ice Creams. They were squashed in about a minute and a half, and now the Dev Corp have 3 points. I know that Justin on Viva Chikara complained about how, you know, it's weird the Devastation Corporation are just getting these points over guys who aren't on the Chikara roster, so it's appropriate that they finally get to face some real Chikara roster members, and it's to get their 3 points, and presumably they'll get a title shot. And, yeah, I don't know how well these guys are going to do in really long matches. I mean, the squashes are fun, but I'm not super stoked to see what they can do in a long match with the Young Bucks or whomever the champs are whenever they get their shot.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot of people are interested in seeing them in a long match, but it's bound to happen at some point. Okay, so we've made it to the main event. The grand champion of Chikara, Eddie Kingston, went up against Tim Donst, and this is a story that's been going on for quite a while. So, Kevin, I'm going to let you either recap it and let the people know how this match was. And, of course, apparently there was some stuff that happened after the match as well, but I'll leave that all to you.
Yeah, I think the word that most people have been using for this match to describe it is underwhelming, and I'd agree with that sentiment for the most part. This has been a pretty intense feud. Kingston beat the holy hell out of Donst in one of his first matches in Chikara years ago, and they had a little bit of stuff going on when Donst was in the BDK, but only for a match or so. And then it really resurfaced again after Donst had lost to Hallowicked and kind of lost his mind and was sort of soul searching and kind of came to realize that wrestling was an evil business and sort of pinpointed Kingston as being the face of why wrestling was evil and how he wanted to take him down and change it. And Donst got some pretty intense promos. Things picked up with him in the Cybernetico. A video with him fighting backstage in AIW came out, and people were really, really looking forward to this match because Kingston has some strong fans. Tim Donst has a lot of supporters. And it just wasn't the match people wanted. I don't think it reached the intensity level that you were led to believe it would have from all these matches. There were certainly some intense moments here and there. But I feel like this is one of those things where they had this match and they knew in their minds that they were going to do a rematch later. Like, to me, when Donst lost, and I thought Donst was going to win, now it seems like the story is going to be he has to split from Jacob, maybe beat Hallowicked, and then go back and face Kingston again, maybe at even next year's season finale if they're going to want to keep it going for that long and finally win the title. But it seems like people really wanted Donst to win, people really wanted Kingston to win too, but it seemed like people really wanted an epic battle between the two, and it's just not what we got. You kind of just got kind of your standard wrestling match. The cool thing was Kingston used two back fists to beat Donst, which is the same way he won the grand championship from Quackenbush a year ago. But I think that fact was lost on just about everybody. And again, this is one of those things where the crowd was kind of silent when the ref counted three, and you know, people cheered a little bit and clapped when Kingston was the victor, but nobody was super psyched that the match was going out of being like, oh my God, that main event was really awesome. And then after the match, you know, Jacob was sort of thrown to the wolves and left in the ring with Eddie Kingston. And Kingston looked like he was ready to beat the hell out of Hammermeyer, and Hammermeyer was pretty much begging him for mercy. And then Kingston just says, go, get out of here, and then Hammermeyer amscrays, and Kingston's left in the ring, and Wink hands him the title belt, and Kingston ruffles his hair. Him and Wink do not have a good relationship. And then he walks out, and that ended the show, and pretty much it seems like the general consensus from people was, great opening half, pretty lackluster second half.
Now, do you think this could be, as you said, that they had this very intense feud? Do you think that perhaps it could be that, one, as you said, there could be a rematch down the line, but two, Chikara is known for, you know, it's a very family-friendly product. They just, you know, only in very recent history had their first cage and ladder match. Do you think that it's a point where they could have had a real, like a brawl type of style match, but you know, just the overall philosophy of Chikara is to not have those types of matches. Do you think that interfered, or do you think they're just going to move this on forward?
I definitely definitely don't think that's a factor. Most of the family-friendly stuff, I think, has to do with the characters and the lack of curse words or anything like that. I think it's like a comic book, you know. You know, Batman, you'll get your Batman comics that are sort of intended for kids, but then you get some intense moments in there as well. Like, there's some, like, reading the current Batman run, there's some really dark stuff in those books, and plenty of kids read comics. So, but I don't think having an aggressive match is necessarily unfamily friendly. I just don't think that has any factor. I think maybe it's they knew it was going to blow up. There wasn't going to be a title change, and maybe they just decided, let's not blow our wad in this match, and rather we'll do something better down the line. Hopefully they do. Hopefully we do get a better match down the line. But that it comes to the point where maybe it's. It sort of feels weird to throw away a main event match of your season finale on iPay-per-view if you're going to do a rematch. Because what if that rematch sucks? What if somebody gets hurt or something like that and you can't do it? To me, it just seems sort of weird to have that aspect, especially if it's not going to be next month or anything. So, I don't know. It just wasn't the match people expected. I just don't think it lived up to people's pretty high expectations.
Okay. I could definitely understand that. So Kev, just, I don't know, I'm sure you've read the reports about what happened after, so I'm just gonna give a brief description here. About a minute after the iPay-per-view, it went black, a video aired of two men in hazmat suits in a tunnel gathering some sort of sample. There was an evil foreboding voice that asked, if they have it, and then the iPay-per-view went black again. And then, it said here about 90 seconds after that video, Ving Velvet was shown talking to his dad who told him to stop screwing up. So Kevin, I guess, have you seen this clip that happened after, and do you have any thoughts on it?
I haven't seen them. I will get the DVD when it comes out, but since I was there live, I don't really plan to buy the stream or anything like that, but I will see on DVD. I don't know. I guess the hazmat suits kind of seems like the Eye of Tyr might be coming back. People say maybe it's Dr. Cube who the foreboding voice was, which it seems like Chikara and Kaiju weren't getting along for a while there, but now it seems like they are again because they have their own section on the Chikara 101 board, and I think Jolly Roger has some position working with Kaiju Big Battle, so there's that. So that would be an interesting thing in there since Dr. Cube did make an appearance or two in Chikara back in 08. So hey, you know, that's the cool little like cosmic sort of comic book storyline Chikara has going on is Mantis and the Eye of Tyr and all that perpetual stuff that's been going on for a while, so that's interesting. Yeah, Wink's dad coming in, that's really weird. Have you seen the website that's linked to it, the dummy website that Chikara?
I have not looked at it. Tell us about it.
It's like Tidor Conglomerate or something like that is the name of the website or the company or what have you. And then there's an affiliate page listed with it, and along with those affiliates are a couple things. One is for Condor Security, which is the name of the security team that's been on the Chikara shows. I actually was handed a business card by the two security guys when I left the building, and the website there leads back to this website, too. And a couple other ones are the Worldwide Media Development Corp, which is the company out of Reseda, California, that purchased Chikara, and Rogue Brains, which is the company that years and years ago was said was going to develop the Chikara video game. Talking to some people and I said, what if the video game Chikara is going to create failed, like in real life? Like they are never going to be able to create it and it failed.
Right.
Now, link that real life incident, this storyline where this company, you know, Wink's kind of failing as the director of fun and maybe they're going to link these failing companies together, which to me is both ingenious and also a little insulting. But kind of interesting. Like Chikara's definitely had a bunch of different dummy website accounts to do these sort of really out there storylines with. And there was something really weird, like a blog post on some other blog, like a Blogspot blog about Tidor Conglomerate, about like, I don't even know if it's linked or not, but it was like about two of their co-workers being fired from like murdering people in like Afghanistan or something like that. It's like really bizarre. But I'm like, what if two security guys, it's really out there. I don't know what to make heads or tails of in this aspect, but it certainly is one of those cool things that they do to leave you intrigued and they take a couple months off.
Exactly. It'll keep people talking. Well, Kevin, you know, we really appreciate it. As always, we want to give you a chance to plug your stuff. So, yeah, any overall thoughts that you didn't get to say, and then plug whatever you have coming up?
Yeah, I'd say in spite of what I said about, you know, the main event and all that stuff, I still had a really good time with the show. You know, it's hard to have a bad time at any wrestling show in person, really, but really, Chikara, it's almost impossible to have a bad time in person. I'd say the first half and then all the storyline stuff and everything that came in the second half, even if the match quality wasn't up to what I was hoping for, I'd still give the show a pretty solid thumbs up, not like a overwhelming thumbs up, but I'd say it's definitely worth checking out if you want to get the stream or the DVD or whatever else. I'd say do it. It was a good time. And definitely, obviously, you want to watch it just to see where Chikara is going leading into season 12 coming next year. The plugs. So you can follow me on Twitter at kford13. That's my personal Twitter. I have another Twitter set up at Chikara Special that links to all my Chikara websites. There's a Tumblr I run that's at chikaraspecial.tumblr.com, which I put all the Chikara news and match announcements and videos, and some of my reviews go up there and everything else. So it's pretty much, you know, Chikara's news in a lot of different places, and this is one place to consolidate all of that. And then my Chikara review blog is chikaraspecial.com. It's a WordPress blog that where I chronicle all of my Chikara reviews, all their shows, all their students doing appearances in outside companies. It's a work in progress, and it's going to go for a while. So go check out everything that's on there now, and there will be updates there soon with the newer shows that just came out. And then I have a new YouTube channel where I'm uploading all the promos on Chikara DVDs that I watch. It's youtube.com/user/thechikaraspecial. And, yeah, and obviously, please check out all the stuff at pwponderings.com. I have a new feature that I hope to start on the website before the end of the year. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not going to self-impose a deadline because I probably will make it if I do that. And then, of course, I have other reviews and stuff going up there. And, yeah, good stuff. Thanks for having me on, guys. I had a really good time.
No problem, man. Awesome as always. Hope to have you back on maybe next year, of course, obviously. Have a good night, Kevin.
Game. And I'm sorry that I pretty much took over your show.
No. Anytime. We have lots of stuff to continue on.
I feel bad for Dez. I feel like I've been getting a lot of word in this whole time.
No. I'm like taking notes. It's like I'm getting ready for February.
Yes. Actually, Dez is actually about to follow you up. He was at the PWG show live, so we're going to hear some thoughts there. So, good head stuff. Yes.
Thoughts.
Okay. Well, so I prevented people from getting totally sick of you before going to PWG, so.
Exactly. All right, Kevin. Thank you, my friend, and have a good night.
Thanks a lot. Take it easy.
All right. That was Kevin Ford. Of course, the Chikara. I mean, I want to say genius. I want to say savant. He knows almost everything about Chikara that you could possibly know. So, Dez, as Kevin said, you know, you didn't get a whole lot of words in there, but you're about to. PWG held their final event of 2012. It was entitled Mystery Vortex. It was crazy. But before we get to it, I want to talk about Premier Wrestling Experience. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger too. Only because it does, in a weird way, tie into it. It was November 30th in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had a dark match of Aaron Solo defeating Darren Dean. Then the main card, Kyle O'Reilly defeated Chip Day. Steve Corino defeated Alex Ferrignos. Cedric Alexander defeated Davey Richards with a frog splash, a match that many said is must-see, and, you know, with the two participants, I couldn't argue that. Six-man scramble of Adam Page versus William the Hammer, Roberts, Corey Hollis, Mr. Elite, Ernie Osiris, and Chiva Kidd. And Chiva Kidd won the match when he pinned Corey Hollis after a 720 splash. In a no-DQ match, Lodi defeated John Skyler. Tons of stuff used, apparently cookie sheets, keyboards, and thumbtacks, which would, in a weird way, pay an homage to the next night in PWG. Zane Riley defeated Craig Huffman, and now this is where the tie-in comes in. We have a group that was formed. Now, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards defeated Jake Manning and Grizzly Redwood for the PWX Tag Team titles. It was a clean pin, it was a powerbomb double stump off the top combo, which should sound familiar, onto Grizz to get the pinfall. In the next match, Adam Cole defeated Caleb Conley for the PWX title with help from Edwards and Strong. After the match, they cut a promo. They are called the Dojo Bros, and no one can beat them. Now, this setup for the next event for PWX, which will happen January 11, 2013, a six-man match, The Great Outdoors of Jake Manning and Grizzly Redward. You know, they made the save. They're going to team up with Caleb Conley to take on the new title holders in PWX of Roderick Strong, Eddie Edwards, and Adam Cole. So, Dez, this PWG show, as we said, called Mystery Vortex, took place December 1st, the next night in Reseda. So we're literally talking across the country.
Yes, and just 24 hours later.
Exactly. And these three men, for better or worse, no, they're not necessarily as tied together in PWG, but they definitely had an effect. So I'm going to run down the results, and I'm going to let you give you your overall thoughts on this. So the show opened up, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards defeated the Young Bucks via their double team, their double stomp dominator combo, which obviously they've been utilizing this all over the place. So, yes. And I do believe, Dez, that you tweeted, or I saw tweets, people knew about the Dojo Bros. Did they mention this live at the show or something?
I didn't hear any mention of it from the show, but I'm guessing people are following it really closely, and they're tied into the Dojo Bros.
Yeah, because I mean, the minute that they defeated the Young Bucks, Well You're Wrong, he's a friend to the site, and Key Crusher, a lot of people on Twitter, they hashtag Dojo Bros, and kind of interesting that really that team or faction, whatever you want to call it, had just formed the night before. So crazy stuff there.
They're taking over.
Exactly. The next match, Sami Callihan defeated Drake Younger via submission with the stretch muffler, but I saw some of your tweets. I saw some tweets when we were live tweeting the results. Pile drivers on the apron, tons of crazy stuff, Dez. How did the crowd react to this?
I think the crowd was surprised, to be honest, that a match this crazy went on second from the start. But they were very much into it. I mean, you get Drake Younger and Sami Callihan step out, and you can basically be guaranteed that they're going to kill each other. And that's essentially what they did. They came out there and they brutalized each other, and the crowd just ate it up. It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, man, it sounds like it was crazy. I saw some of the photos by Devin Chen, some awesome stuff there. It's on our Facebook. Give it a look. Just the photo, he caught it perfectly of Drake delivering that pile driver onto Callihan on the apron. Man, it looks crazy. I don't see how Callihan does not have a concussion.
I don't see how Callahan's going to wrestle again on Saturday.
Oh, I know, right?
Twice.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah. But, okay, so next up, now I did get this in excerpt, so you can correct me if I'm wrong on any part of this. Adam Cole came out with a mic, and he started talking. Steen then came out, and it was determined that the match would be a guerrilla warfare match for the PWG title at the end of the night. There were several conflicting tweets. Did Steen ask for the match to be guerrilla warfare, or did Cole? What went on there?
Well, Steen came out and said, since tonight's Mystery Vortex show was full of surprises, obviously referring to the fact that when we got there, we had no idea about any of the undercard, he said he wanted to add one more surprise, and since he had a little bit of clout with the PWG office, he decided to make his world title defense a guerrilla warfare match, and Adam Cole was horrified.
Okay, well then, that's I did not realize how much clout that Steen actually had with the office.
Quite a lot of pull there.
It's good to know. Okay, so next up we have the Super Smash Brothers defeating the Rockness Monsters to retain their tag titles via the fatality. The Rockness Monsters, of course, just really recently turning heel. A lot of people said that the match was really fun. After the match, the Super Smash Brothers were determined it was going to wrestle again because in a non-title match. Because their flights are expensive, so they need to get the most money out of them. So they're going to go up against Strong and Edwards. Of course, the next show was announced was January 12, 2013, which since then we have learned is going to be DDT4. So that's really...
Really? I have not heard that. Awesome.
Yes, they announced it. A lot of people speculating... Well, it's kind of weird. We'll be talking about a little bit this later on, but it ties into an announcement that actually we unfortunately did not get to talk with Kevin about. Chikara announced that they're going to be coming to Reseda in October.
I'm so excited.
I know. That sounds fun. But then PWG tweeted that they're not going to be affiliated with any other promotion running in their area next year. And then, of course, announced so early in the year, DDT4, in January, which is kind of throws off the whole schedule. So a lot of people wondering, you know, was it true? Is it, you know, is there a reason for this? I guess we'll find out. But obviously from some people I've talked to, they've pretty much said that it's legit, that PWG really does not have any correlation with Chikara right now in terms of, you know, it's not going to be a doubleheader or something. But who knows? You know, plans change. They are what they are.
I mean, anything could happen. It's wrestling. But, I mean, when you look at it on the surface, you know, PWG and Chikara are two almost – I mean, they're both really awesome, but they're two very opposing styles of wrestling. So I could see where they would, you know, they wouldn't be involved in as great of a capacity as we would expect.
Yeah, exactly. The philosophies are just very different from each other. So next up, kind of a touching moment is Joey Ryan's final match in PWG. He decided to go up against his, I guess, longtime friend and rival.
And dynasty mate.
Yes, exactly. In Scorpio Sky, said to be a really good match. Sky defeated Joey Ryan via TKO. So, Dez, I'm going to ask you for the live reaction because I really don't want to try to describe it. Just tell us, how was it?
Well, it was just the entire match was a show of gratitude to Joey Ryan. I mean, people started chanting "Thank you, Joey" the second his music hit, and it was just, you know, everybody knew obviously that this was going to be his final show. And people were just thankful because Joey Ryan is one of those guys who, as he said later in his post-match speech, sort of carried PWG on his back and did whatever kinds of jobs and whatever odd positions that PWG wanted him to do. So this was sort of his final hurrah against his tag team partner, his friend Scorpio Sky. And Sky getting the win there in a very good match for Joey Ryan send-offs. It was just, you know, the match – and the speech, which I'm sure you'll recap in a second, was just really emotional. And, you know, you could just feel it, you know. There are those moments where you know a wrestler's leaving, and just for a second, fans forget about the characters and they forget about the stories, and they're just thankful because somebody's been there for so long being entertaining and just putting their body on the line to entertain somebody. It was that kind of moment on Saturday night.
Right, and I will recap this, and feel free to let me know if it's incorrect. We were getting tweets in from Brian, which we definitely appreciate. We will have him on the show very soon to talk about this event. So this is what he recapped to us. The Thank You Joey chant started after he got on the mic, and he said he's waited 10 years to tell the fans to go fuck themselves, which is very much Joey Ryan style. And then he, of course, went into explaining, you know, TNA, they don't want to allow him on to, you know, in PWG DVDs anymore. But he did put over the management and the fans and his role over the years on PWG. And, of course, he's been a pretty much a stalwart in PWG. And it's going to be sad to see him gone, you know, no matter how long it is or short it is. You know, he's just been there and he is obviously a great talent. And we're very happy, of course, at PWP that he is in TNA and furthering his career. Of course, he is aligned with Matt Morgan, so that's interesting. But, you know, either way, you know, we're very happy for him. We're sad to see him go. But Dez, you know, in typical fashion, you know, Joey Ryan, he just has to be controversial on his way out. You know, how, you know, you were there, you know, listening to the crowd around him. You know, how was this taken in by the fans?
The crowd is really, really respectful. There was one guy who tried to start his own stupid chant in the middle of it, and everybody on the crowd immediately turned on the guy. And everyone showed Joey the utmost respect. The PWG crowd just being, you know, the PWG crowd. As soon as Joey Ryan told everybody to go fuck themselves, we all started to chant fuck ourselves. And he said, well, you guys will chant anything, to which we proceeded to chant anything over and over again, which really amused him. So, you know, it was kind of fun. One last time.
It also means the DVD is going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah, you got to check the DVD out. It's going to be lots of fun. But, you know, the fans, one last time, having a little fun with Joey Ryan, and he talked about it. He said whenever PWG needed him to have world title matches or whenever they needed him to do some comedy matches with Candice LeRae, he was there, and he was proud to have worked with PWG for about a decade. So, again, it was just a really nice send-off and a really good way to say goodbye to Joey Ryan.
So next up, I mean, how could you follow that up? So they tried their best. It was a four-way match. Willie Mack defeated B-Boy, TJ Perkins, and Brian Cage with a Chocolate Thunder driver. This match just sounds like it was off the hook. I saw some photos from it. crazy innovative stuff from All Four Guys. So looking forward to checking that out. As you said, Des, no one knew the card going into this, so I'm assuming you realized, All Four Guys are coming out. Was there any tension in the crowd? Not, obviously because no one knew what to expect.
Not really, none that I sensed. I think as they came out, just sort of got the impression like, all right, this is going to be a four-way and it's going to be great. And that's a really good place to put the four-way is right after intermission. You get the fans back into it by getting four guys in there going completely balls out and trying to get you wound up for the main event. I mean, I thought it was a really strategic position for it. And yeah, it was a really good match. All four guys worked really hard and they got the crowd back into the show.
Well, the next match for sure, would no doubt put the crowd into the wrestling cheer. El Generico defeating Rich Swann.
Oh yeah.
He pulled out the Orange Crush. Things were awesome. Were there any Olay chants, Des?
Yeah, that's like asking if there were horns at a soccer game. Yeah. It was insane the amount of Olay you got. And, every time I see El Generico live, and I've caught him live quite a few times, actually, every time I see him live, he seems to get about 1,000 times more popular. And it was no exception this time. I mean, little kids just love the guy. He's popular with men. He's popular with women. He's one of those wrestlers who's popular no matter who he's in front of. I mean, it's not a specific demographic he's popular with. Everybody loves El Generico, and everybody likes to sit there and sing and chant Olay and cheer the generic luchador to victory. And this match with Rich Swann, I mean, you've got two high flyers, and they just had a fantastic – I mean, it was awesome. We were on our feet for a lot of it. It was just such a great match, and you were just really into it the entire time.
Sounds awesome. So next up, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards came back out. They defeated the Super Smash Brothers in a non-title match. Via the double stomp after a front suplex into a backbreaker on Stupefied. So they've got to be in line for a tag title shot.
I would think so, right?
Yes. I would assume. And then, we'll just have to wait and see. But next up, the main event, the Guerrilla Warfare for the PWG title, Adam Cole. I don't want to call this an upset because I feel like that would be rude, being rude to Cole, but he defeated Kevin Steen to win the PWG title, obviously, with his straitjacket German onto thumbtacks. And there are just pictures of the crazy, for lack of a better term, shit that they did in this match. There was a pyramid of chairs.
Yeah, from the chair mountain.
Yes, and from the top row, Kevin Steen, it looked like a Death Valley driver to me. That's what it looked like. Some people said, no, it was just a suplex, but whatever it was, they went through a mountain of chairs, and that is crazy. And then, of course, the thumbtacks were brought out. There were two ladders involved, from what we were told. Just craziness. And Des, I'm assuming they brawled all over the place. So what happened?
Yeah. It was actually – for this match, I stopped being objective. I'm a huge I'm a huge Adam Cole fan. He's always been incredible friend, really nice to me and has helped me out whenever I needed him. So getting a chance to actually watch him in the main event of a PWG show and try and win the world championship was just an awesome, awesome thing to do. And for me, that was almost enough. And then to watch him win the world title, first of all, the match, we were standing the entire time. At one point, Kevin Steen brought Adam Cole right in front of me and just started beating the hell out of him right in front of me. That kind of hurt me a little bit on the inside. But, I mean, these guys killed each other. To say that this match was hardcore is the understatement of the century. It was just a fantastic match. All over the place brawling. I mean, nonstop. Through the crowd. You said ladders, chairs, thumbtacks. He had everything. And I didn't think they would bring out thumbtacks, to be honest. The crowd was calling for it, and I was thinking, they're probably not going to do thumbtacks. That's a little much. But they did it, and that was the end. Yeah, Adam Cole hit his suplex on the thumbtacks, got the win, and I think, I'm going to be honest, everybody else was going for Steen. I think I was the only guy cheering for Cole. So take that, everybody else.
Yes, exactly. Booyah, Dez got it right. Anyway, that was me. But yeah, no, it sounds like it was a tremendous event. I'm looking forward to seeing it on DVD. And of course, Dez, I'll be looking for you just so I can laugh at you. You know,
yes, I don't know my expression. Perhaps it was a look of horror as Steen beat poor Adam Cole in front of me, and it was a heart-wrenching experience.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Now, was there anything after the match? Brian, of course, you know, he got caught up in the moment. He obviously let us know the result. But when I texted him back and asked him if anything else happened, I did not get any response. So did anything happen after the main event?
I was really busy fanboying out, but to my knowledge, actually, Adam Cole, I guess, was just so beat up. He went straight to the back, even though he won the title. No time to celebrate or flaunt his championship in front of the fans. Kevin Steen, I think, went to the back just a little after that, but he reveled in his defeat for a while. But yeah, no celebration from Cole, no nothing, and then the announcer told us to go home. So it was no real post-match that I'm aware of.
Boo. I don't like that. There should be more.
Well, to be fair, it started really late, too. It started like an hour late. And
yes, it did start at 9 p.m. We even had a few people tweeting us saying, did the PW show end? Are you guys over? I said, no, we're still reporting live.
No, so, it's intermission.
Exactly. Stay with us. You'll want to, trust me.
But it flew by, man. Like, the show ended, and we went outside, and we talked to a couple people, and I checked, was like, oh my god, it's 1 a.m, let's go get tacos. Like, it was, time just flew by watching the show.
Oh yeah, no, every time I live tweet the PWG results with you guys texting it into me, I'm tired afterwards, I gotta say. I mean, yes, the time flies by, but man, it is so exhausting just because I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of our time zone, obviously, I think that is the big ditch. I mean, because, you know, the show ends at like 1 a.m. our time. That's only 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Whatever.
Yeah, they're waking up. Come on.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, fun show. Really glad that everyone joined us. We want to thank all of you. It was literally the most successful day in PW Pondering's history for the site. We appreciate all of you that joined us for it. And, buy the DVD. I don't know what else to say.
Awesome, yes.
Okay, so let's get into some quick results. I know this show has been going a little bit long, but hey, we're here to cover all the news, and there was a lot of news this weekend. So one event that I want to talk about, we rarely get a chance to talk about United Kingdom shows. So this was the Southside Wrestling Entertainment. They presented SWE, which is obviously them, versus HOP, the House of Pain, I believe. The show was called Ill Manners, I hope. It took place November 30th, 2012 in West Bridgford, Nottingham, United Kingdom. My apologies if I'm totally butchering that, but, you know, what can I tell you? I'm American. Anyway, El Ligero defeated Bam Bam Barton. Angelus defeated T-Bone. Robbie X versus Alex Gracie went to a time limit draw. Both men retained their respective titles. Now, here's the matches, and this is the reason why we're reporting on this. Prince Devitt, yes, that Prince Devitt, defeated Michael Elgin, and it was said to be an awesome match. As clearly, I don't think anyone would argue that it couldn't be. I've tweeted Southwest Side Entertainment. They have assured me that they're going to put some videos out. I'm not too sure if they do DVDs. I didn't see any on their site, but I am really hoping to get some footage of this. I mean, Dez, Prince Devitt and Michael Elgin.
I didn't think I'd ever hear of those two being matched up, ever.
Exactly. Crazy, right? And of course it happens in the UK, which is awesome, but I need to see it. Exactly. So get that footage out as soon as possible. And we, of course, will shed that, you know, onto you guys with Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Google+. We'll get the footage to you because a lot of people have asked us, where can we find footage? What can we do? I really can't answer you. Like I said, I've tweeted them, I've emailed them, and all they said back to me is that they'll get the footage out there when they can. So that's the report. To finish out the card, Nathan Cruz defeated LJ Huron and Diamond Dave Andrews. So they have a talent named Styx. He defeated Haskins to retain his Southside Championship, but then another talent named Max cashed in essentially a Money in the Bank to become the new Southside Wrestling Entertainment champion. So obviously, you know, a show, you know, there were some upsets on it. Sounds like, I've only heard of, obviously, besides Prince Devin, Mike Logan, I've heard of Nathan Cruz, and I've heard of Styx. You know, two guys that, you know, they have pretty good reputation. So I would say if you can, check out the show, check out Southside Wrestling Entertainment if you're in the area, and send us results. Let us know what happens. It sounds like it's a fun little promotion there. All right. So, Dez, we've made it. We've made it to the news and events section of the weekly newscast.
I'm excited.
Okay, so the first thing off is, as we kind of alluded to before, Chikara announced that they would be coming to Reseda in October 2013. And of course, as we said, PWG also noted that they won't be affiliated. We don't know if that's legit or not, but it is what it is. PWG announced that in January, DDT4, so Dez, I expect a full report from you in January.
I hope so. I want to be there. I've never been to a DDT before.
And we have National Pro Wrestling Day in Philly, February 2nd, 2013. Here's some information about the show. Credit to PW Insider for this information. The event will feature a doubleheader of events free of charge. Talent and matches from Chikara, Ring of Honor, Evolve, Beyond Wrestling, CWF, Mid-Atlantic, Kaiju Big Battle, Resistance Pro, Wrestling is Fun, the IWC, the WSU, Wrestling is Heart, CTWE, NYWC, Quest, Fighting Spirit Wrestling, SOR Class Wars, Wrestling is Awesome, and AIW. We can also, I guess, kind of allude to, let you guys know that a few other promotions have also been trying to get into this, and I'm sure that they will be that they'll be accepted. It's a crazy show, Dez. I'm excited. And obviously, you know, all we at PWP really appreciate the associations that we have with, I would say, 90% of those promotions. And we're hoping to make, you know, strides in the other ones as well.
It's so, one of the shows that makes me physically angry that I don't live in Philadelphia, because that, what more could you ask for? I mean, you've got every wrestling promotion that I could think of, and even some that I've never heard of before. That's going to be an awesome, awesome day.
It really is. I am excited to see who else is announced for it, and I'm excited for everyone that is involved. It sounds like a fun show. We at PWP will effort to bring all of the coverage and news that we can from this event. So a little bit more information about it. It's going to be an afternoon and evening event. Both shows obviously are going to be featuring free admission. The idea is to present as many different unique promotions as possible to give everyone some additional awareness. You know, and just in pro wrestling, it's something that we all love. And, you know, hopefully we can be a part of it. PWInsider.com has also said they're going to be involved in the celebration in one way or another, so keep an eye on them. The event will be available via iPay-per-view. Now, I don't know about all the details on that. I'm assuming with the Evolve connection, you know, WMN Live is going to be involved. I'm sure SmartMark Video will be involved. It all seems like it's coming together all at once. For fans in the New York City and New Jersey area, Wrestling Bus Trips will be promoting trip for the event, $55 a person. You can email wrestlingbustrips@gmail.com. And of course, if you didn't catch any of that because I spoke too fast, just go to nationalprowrestlingday.com for all the information. And that is, of course, February 2nd, 2013. So you have a lot of time. Check it out. I'm sure they'll be putting out a ton of news for it. So, Dez, there's some big events coming up this weekend.
There are
future events that we will be talking about. So first of all, why don't we talk about those? We have Evolve 18 first up. We want to let you guys know that Dragon Gate USA has launched their latest site. It looks awesome, dgusa.tv. I think it's a little bit easier to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing that I believe, Dez, we tweeted about, they unfortunately, at least I couldn't find it. So if I'm wrong, let me know. Tweet at me, CGS Tong. They took down the Evolve, the leadership board. I think that's kind of a mistake because that is something that's unique to them. And it just doesn't seem, I realize that they are connected to DGUSA, but without that leaderboard, you know, I cannot imagine that, you know, they expect us to follow every single event, you know, go all the way back and find out the wins and losses. I mean, that's, you know, we are fans. We are going to do that anyway, but still,
yeah,
make it a little bit easier on us.
I don't expect fans to do what I did today, basically, all day.
Exactly. So this is going to be a doubleheader. It's December 8th in Voorhees, New Jersey. The main event obviously was changed. It was originally going to be Johnny Gargano versus John Davis, But because of the fans and your outcry, it is Johnny Gargano defending his title against Sami Callihan, the Open Defeating Gate title. The rest of the card is going to be a little bit of a mini tournament. The winners of these four matches, they're going to face off in a four-way freestyle match. So Chuck Taylor versus John Davis, AR Fox versus Tony Nese, Jigsaw versus Rich Swann, and Masada versus Greek God Papa Don. All eight guys, I can't say that there's going to be a bad match in there, and then the four-way is going to be crazy. So, this is one of those cards where I think Evolve can put their best foot forward in terms of showcasing the talents that they have, and this is what they need to do. The other, I would like to call it a co-main event. They have not advertised this, but to me it is. It's El Generico teaming up with Samuel Del Sol going up against the Super Smash Brothers. I mean, to me, that's a co-main event.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I think that match is going to be a ton of fun. So as we said, it is Evolve 18. You can buy it on WNLive.com. It is a doubleheader with CZW's Cage of Death 14.
Yeah.
This is the second show of the evening.
That's right. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about the Evolve show. It's going to be, it starts a little earlier because of the doubleheader with Cage of Death. This is going to be a really important show in the grand scheme of things. Just because this eight-man, I guess, like you said, mini tournament here in the middle of the card is going to have some big ramifications on the Evolve title tournament that's going to happen at WrestleCon. So, I mean, this is going to be sort of the first step in setting up those brackets for the tournament. So if you want to follow it from the very beginning and you want to chart the progress of the Evolve title and just how it all gets started, this is going to be the show to start watching from, because this is where basically, I think this little tournament is going to start eliminating people from the running, which is going to be big. So this is this is a really important show to start jumping in if you're a fan of kind of that sports feel of brackets and points.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like it was unfortunate that I couldn't easily find the leaders board. Now maybe it is there on the site, and I'm just I can't find anything. But I do think that it is important, and I would really say that to people. I mean, it really started back with the style battle that John Davis won. If you go back to that, that's where the push for an Evolve title really started. And, of course, this feud that he's had with Johnny Gargano all the way through, it's really good stuff in Evolve. And I really like the product right now and where it's headed. So hopefully, you guys join in for that. All the information will be in the podcast info, of course, and you can go to WNLive.com for that information. But as we said, it is a doubleheader event with Cage of Death, CZW, same day, December 8th. Now, this is going to happen at 7:30 p.m. They do have a show. It's called Eye to Eye. You can check that out on hybrident.tv. It's only $6.99, so I'm assuming it's kind of like a highlight reel, and it is the final confrontation between CZW owner DJ Hyde and the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. So obviously at $6.99, hey, you know what? You got an extra $7. Check it out. It's going to be some extra content for you. But on WNLive.com, that's where Cage of Death is going to be presented. I do believe they're also streaming on hybrident.tv. But why not, just get it all there in one place at WN Live. And so here's the card. The main event, Shattered Dreams, Cage of Death, CZW owner DJ Hyde versus Bulldozer Matt Tremont. These guys have been fighting for quite a long time.
This is coming to a head.
Exactly. This is coming to a head. And if this doesn't end it, I don't know what will does.
Nothing will, Chris.
It's Cage of Death. You cannot go past this. I mean, you really can't. It's crazy. But not to be, I guess not to be outdone, the co-main event or second, main event, CZW World Heavyweight Championship, Masada, the champion, is going up against Drake Younger. Blood is going to flow in that match, Dez.
The ultra-violent golden boy.
Exactly. Not to be outdone also, though, the ultra-violent insanity, Four Loko, Alex Colon, and the CZW World Tag Team Champions of Azrael and Bandito Jr. versus the Nation of Intoxication of Danny Havoc, Devon Moore, and Lucky 13. Crazy. I know I've been saying that a lot, but those six guys, just, I don't know, crazy.
Yeah, go watch that.
Right? The Wired TV title, Open Challenge, AR Fox, he's challenging anyone. As of when I was looking for the information, has yet to be yet to be rectified, so I guess it's still open. So for that reason alone, I mean, Aero Fox has been having a tremendous 2012. Anyone that challenges them for the Wired TV title, I think it's going to be a fun match. Now, the next one is Sami Callihan versus Adam Cole in a CZW rules match. I am assuming that means it's going to be violent.
That can mean anything. But
exactly,
yeah,
right? What does that mean? What does CZW rules mean? It's almost an oxymoron in a sense.
There are no rules in CZW. Come on.
It's crazy. Number one contenders match for the Tag Team Championship, Blackout of Ruckus and Black G's with Robbie Moreno versus Ojai 4K of Jake and Dave Crist with Nevaeh. I actually did not know that Nevaeh was still around. That actually kind of surprises me. But Jake and Dave Crist having a fantastic 2012. I believe they are the current AAW Tag Team Champions. So that should be a fun match. The Intergender Tag Team Contest of Greg Excellent and Mama Excellent versus Drew Gallick and Kimberly. A mother is involved with CZW.
Let's go, Mama Excellent.
Exactly.
Woo!
And then the battle for aerial supremacy, Rich Strawn versus Shane Strickland. That, I mean, if that opens up the show, which I'm assuming it will, these guys will impress you. Obviously, a lot of you have probably seen Rich Strawn. Shane Strickland, I've only recently really gotten into seeing some of his stuff, checked him out on YouTube. It should be a fun match. I could totally understand that. Kind of wishing that I seen Shane a little bit more before this, but hey. You know, I'll jump on the bandwagon. I'll check them out. So, yeah, so that is CZW Cage of Death 14. Of course, for media requests, vendor space, and sponsorship opportunities, contact DJ Hyde at czwrestling.com. We want to thank them for their sponsorship of PW Ponderings. So check that out, Evolve 18 and Cage of Death. They're both separate shows, so I don't believe there is a one price for both. But I definitely think it's going to be worth your time and money to check them out.
Yeah, and you can get them both. If you want just the live showings, you can get it for $20.
Exactly, and that's December 8th. That's this Saturday, so check them out.
Make a day out of it, folks.
Exactly. So, Dez, a promotion that I know is close to your heart, AIW, they have announced the end of the world. That is December 21st, 2012, in Cleveland, Ohio. Big match. Big card, actually. So, for the first time ever, Davey Richards versus AR Fox, the Battiri versus the Irish Airborne, Lewis Linden, he's going to go up against Josh Alexander. Ethan Page with Silesia Sparks versus Kyle O'Reilly. Chuck Taylor versus Davey Vega. For the absolute title, Tim Donst, he's going to defend against Eric Ryan. Hope and Change, obviously, they're going to defend the AIW tag titles against Euthanasia. Hope and Change, obviously, Gregory Iron and Veda Scott. That was kind of a surprising, I don't want to say twist, but I did not see them winning the tag titles. But they did.
They sure did.
That's just how it's going to work. And, of course, we have a faction, a form of Nixon. They're going to go up against Eddie Kingston and Johnny Gargano. So, yeah, end of the world, it seems like it's a good card. If you can make it out there in Cleveland, I would, you know, hope that you would. Because AEW is just putting on a string of good shows, just like CZW, man. They're on a roll right now. And I think their product... I only recently was able to check out some more of their more current DVDs, and you know, production-wise, I'm pretty happy with it. And that's not something I say very often about a lot of promotions. So, definitely, you know, if I can get that from them, hey, good stuff.
Chris, you know, my parents have an advent calendar set up here, and it only goes up to December 21st. So, you know what? If the end of the world is coming, what better way to ring out the world than with some AIW action? And I mean, look at what you've got here. Eric Ryan finally gets his championship rematch after losing it at Absolution 7, and he's going to take on Tim Donst for that title. Finally, I know he's been clamoring for it ever since he lost it, so finally he's going to get it. Maybe this will shut him up. And of course, you got first time ever, AR Fox, Davey Richards. If that's not a selling point, then you might as well tune out right now, because you are not alive. That's going to be an awesome, awesome match. And, of course, you've got Euthanasia taking on Greg Iron and Veda Scott, and hopefully Hope and Change is, I don't have much to say about them. So, I mean, it's going to be a really good show. Nixon, hopefully they're dealt with as well. I mean, be there, folks, in Cleveland on December 21st. It's going to be a hell of a show.
And, of course, if it is the end of the world, I won't get to know what the results are or see it on DVD, but you will. You get to see it live.
Somehow.
So go do it. Have fun.
Yes.
Okay, so last bit of news. AAPW, they have announced they have Zero Hour on DVD. It is available for order, and digital download will be available soon at ivpvideos.com. It's $10. AAPW, one of the premier kind of promotions out of, I believe it's Southern Illinois. I don't want to misspeak there, but I do believe it is Southern Illinois. And they're a promotion that we have been lucky enough to really have a foster a very good relationship with. You can check out our previous DVD reviews. Just go to pwponderings.com, look under the DVD reviews, go to All American Pro Wrestling. You'll see it right there. It is a promotion that I really think is doing some fantastic stuff. They have alluded to some new stuff coming along in the new year. So I'm excited for that. We'll bring you all the news for them. So right now, though, let me give you the card for Zero Hour. They're the tournament finals for the AAPW No Limits Championship of Joey O'Reilly versus Casey Jackson, Kyle Sykes versus Alex Castle, and then Kyle Sykes and the Great Sham versus Alex Castle and Angelus Lane. Obviously, those two matches probably bled into each other. The 6th Anniversary Battle Royale, which I heard was kind of a fun match to see live. So, you know, these are not necessarily tents that you may be familiar with, but you really should. You should familiarize, easy for me to say, yourself with them. The AAPW Tag Team Championship ladder match of Brandon Espinosa and Ace Hawkins versus Matt Cage and Christian Rose. Mississippi Madman versus Bull Bronson. Colt Cabana joined up with Heath Hatton to take on the team of Axe Alward and Gaylord Stevens. Of course, Colt Cabana, you know, a lot of fun, and I'm glad that he was able to make it out to AAPW, and hopefully he'll be there again very soon. And, of course, the first ever steel cage match for the AAPW Heavyweight Championship. Not necessarily the end of the grudge, but Edmund Livewire McGuire versus Mike Masters. Of course, this is the finish to the controversial ending, which led to Mike Masters becoming AAPW Heavyweight Champion. So you guys get a chance to see all of that. It's $10, and it is an awesome promotion to really get, you know, to start. They only recently, this is their third DVD, I guess, production. So you can actually get all three DVDs, I believe, for about $30. So, you know, if you're looking for a new promotion, if some promotions are not doing it for you as they used to, check out AAPW. We definitely promote them. Another DVD that I want to put out there, Dez, we talked about this last week. Interspecies Wrestling, Armageddocalypse. It happened November 17th. Of course, you know, I'm just going to read the description to you guys.
Please do.
If this doesn't sell you on it, I don't know what will. It could possibly be the last show ever, so let's get our shit in. Four-way fans bring the Lego death matches, food fights, crazy title matches, and more. The final event before the Mayans expected the end of the world, Armageddocalypse saw the debut of Danny Havoc as he took part in the biggest fans bring the Lego deathmatch ever against Shitty, Addy Starr, and Pinky Sanchez. The war to settle the score went down as Team Tremendous attempted to give the food fighters a taste of their own medicine in a first-ever food fight. And then a classic ISW feud is reignited for the championship as Twiggy defends against Izzy Dead Yet. And revenge is sought by Frankie Arion as he steps into the ring to take the other title from El Heel Del Bamboo. All this and so much more. The DVD is only $15 plus shipping and handling. That's $5 domestic, and that is within Canada, and then only $8 for international. I've already put in my order for it, and I know that if you go to strongstyle.bigcartel.com, there's a Lego Deathmatch exclusive t-shirt that they have. It's awesome. It is tremendous looking, and it ties in together with this. Order both of them. I mean, you really cannot have one without the other, in my opinion. So lots of good stuff there. We're glad to have them on board as well, and we really appreciate them giving us some of the access to tons of videos. We have posted them frequently on our Facebook and on our Twitter, so check that out. Lots of good stuff there.
I gotta send some love to ISW because I hadn't really checked out much of their stuff, to be honest, despite working here with PW Ponderings. But I got a chance to check out their Lego Deathmatch from 2011 just last week, and it was awesome. Like, it was the best thing ever. And I showed it to one of my best friends who's really a wrestling cynic. He's really into just a certain kind of wrestling. I didn't expect him to enjoy this. He came back and said that was the best thing ever. So we are both in agreement that the fans bring the Legos Deathmatch is the best thing ever from last year, and I'm sure it's going to be even better this year, so check out that DVD.
Exactly. It's going to be four times the amount of fun. That's all I'm going to say.
Four times a Lego?
Man, you were just on a roll of bad puns today, aren't you?
Lego my ego, Chris.
Horrible. All right, so we're almost done here, folks. This has been a marathon, but we're almost done. The last bit of news is Ring of Honor. They recently put out that they're returning to Chicago Ridge on Saturday, March 2nd, for their 11th anniversary event, which will air live on iPay-per-view. Of course, at RHWrestling.com. They are obviously hosting Final Battle very soon, less than 2 weeks away. So, you know, Ring of Honor, they really need some good stuff going on right now. For Final Battle, obviously, I'm sure most of you know the card. You've hopefully, knock on wood, heard the Podcast of Honor preview for it. Dez, I wanted to get your thoughts about this. So, one, how do you feel the buzz has been for Ring of Honor rolling into Final Battle? And two, what are you expecting after Final Battle is over?
Real quick, and I hate to backtrack, but the Ring of Honor Chicago shows are going to be a doubleheader, isn't it?
Yes. March 2nd and 3rd, it's Saturday and Sunday. Now, they said that they will air live on iPay-per-view. I'm assuming that means both nights. I'm just assuming there.
I'm
incorrect. The tickets for the March 3rd, it will be a TV taping only.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Okay, so I am incorrect. I apologize for that.
That's going to be weird. You do a pay-per-view the night before, and then you do a TV. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, Final Battle. Something that makes at least a little more sense. The buzz going into it, you know, you've got obviously a regime change taking effect right now in terms of Jim Cornette's influence being completely eliminated from the equation, or so the rumor goes right now. And, I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing to see just how that plays out. Obviously, the match on top is just going to get any Ring of Honor fan talking. It's El Generico and Kevin Steen, one of the most legendary rivalries in the company, rehashed on the December 16th show. So that's something to look for in a ladder war, no less. That's going to be great. And then the American Wolves reuniting. I feel like it's very much going to be a Ring of Honor sort of modern nostalgia show. In that sense, where you're going to have the American Wolves, you're going to have Steen, Generico, Ladder Boy, you're going to have Jerry Lynn on the show. And, you know, so it's going to be that. And then you've got Adam Cole and Matt Hardy, which, you know, it's going to be there. I'm sure they won't bother us too much with the rest of our great wrestling action. So, I mean, the buzz for it, I would have thought that we'd hear a lot more about it. I mean, I'm not really sensing an excitement from the internet community that I usually do when a big show's coming up. And maybe that'll change as it comes closer, but right now I feel like it's going to be a pretty good show, and I'm not getting that vibe from a lot of people.
No, it does seem like there really should have been a lot more going into it. But it does have, you know, a few fans are talking about the main event, obviously where it's going to lead. You know, and this is, as you said, a new regime. So we'll just have to, you know, we got to give it a chance. So I hope a lot of you do check that out. Final Battle, Ring of Honor, RHWrestling.com. That's where you can check it out. You know, hey, let's hope that iPay-per-view doesn't screw up. That's all I can really say about that.
Yeah.
So Dez, unless there's anything else on your mind, I think we can be done. Let the people know your plugs, your Twitter, your whatever. You got a ton of stuff coming out.
When I wake up early in the morning and I have yet to have my coffee, I apparently post really bad puns on Twitter. So if you want to read those and laugh at me, you can check them out at DezDelgD on Twitter. I do a weekly roundup of news for ROHworld.com, and I haven't talked about this in a while, but I still do it, Figure Four Weekly Ring of Honor recaps. So if you're a subscriber, you can read those in the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. You can check out my own website, thingsdezsays.net, where we do weekly podcasts talking about all sorts of things, wrestling, and we make fun of each other along the way, and it's a fun time. We just did a show actually reviewing a landmark UK show, going back to the UK. We did the FWA's King of England tournament from 2002, which kind of set the precedent for a British revival of sorts. So if you want to go back and listen to a little bit of British wrestling history that we don't really hear about much here, check that out over at thingsdezsays.net. And then I've got the AIW podcast, the Blindside podcast. And I hate to be a tease, but I'm finishing Talk to the Guest right now, lining him or her up, and he or she should be on the show very soon. So look out for an AIW podcast there on the AIW Tumblr, and I'm sure Chris will go ahead and post the info to that as well. So that's all I've got this week.
Hey, that's still quite a bit of stuff. I've enjoyed listening to you on their Tumblr, and it's it's kind of cool that you've been given this type of access to their talents, and as you said before, AIW kind of cooking on all cylinders. I think it's pretty awesome of them. So of course, if you're not sick of hearing my voice, you can follow me on Twitter at CGSTong. That's CGSTONG. As always, we want to thank all of you, your listeners. You guys have been tremendous. You've sent us emails. You've tweeted at us. You've let us know what you want to hear. So we're bringing you a lot more news, a lot more promotions that we hope that you'll check out. And as always, follow us on Twitter at PW Ponderings. Look us up on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. We're on Tumblr and Google Plus. I would give you the links to those. I believe it's pwponderings.tumblr. That's TUMBLR.com. And then the Google Plus, you can find that at pwponderings.com. Just look on the right-hand side. You'll see the icons. Follow us there too. You'll see our reviews, our news up, pretty much as soon as they're posted. We are efforting to get a lot better at that, so we really appreciate all of you guys that are following us there as well. I want to say that we're going to have a post Final Battle Ring of Honor podcast of honor show. And of course, more articles, more DVD reviews, everything that we can. And we really appreciate all your support. So for Dez, my name's Chris GST. I am the web admin for PWP, and we are signing out for the night. From the places where I was born.